podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
No breaks,
no breaks,
no fear,
no fear.
The official British Speedway podcast.
We've had our first action in British Speedway for 2024. The season is officially up and running, and heading into the next couple of weeks, things are really going to get moving. One man who's already been busy, he's got three meetings under his belt in the space of 5 days. Chris Harris is our main guest this week.
With Jamie coming in, he's made it wider and I think better racing. And it definitely is a stadium now that belongs in the top league like it did years ago. And, you know, the owners and everyone that's put the effort in to put it where it is now is fantastic, really.
Plenty of previews of the upcoming fixtures this week as the Bellevue Aces finally kick off their campaign, and we hear from Mark Lemon on his team.
You know, they're all quite seasoned now, even though it's the relatively young team. There's potential in all their averages, and that's kind of what you look to when you build a team, you know, the guys that can improve. You know, Dan Bewley on an 8-point average, I think, is a steal.
We also hear from Matt Sayanowski on his first appearance for the Oxford Spires in rather wet conditions, but that's what he's here for.
Yes, that was a nice welcome in, welcome back in British Speedway. But that was something what I was looking for, tough competition.
And we hear from Brady Kurtz, who finally won the Peter Craven Memorial Trophy.
I did want it. I've tried for a lot of years to win this meeting, and I always blow it in the final. And I thought I had again.
All that and much more coming up in this week's episode of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along. This is Ian Brannan into week three in the Speedway season, and the action is starting to come thick and fast. We've already had our first league action with the Oxford Spires facing the Birmingham Brummies last week, and Oxford just edging that one in a close encounter at Oxford Stadium. And we've also had a couple of big one-off meetings as well, not least the Peter Craven Memorial and Charles Wright's testimonial, each providing some thrilling racing in their own right. Reaction from those fixtures coming up later on, and we'll look ahead to the major fixtures that are taking place this week as well in what is now known as the British Speedway Row Motor Oil Premiership. British Speedway Premiership thrilled to announce a title sponsorship deal with Row Motor Oil for the 2024 season. The UK's top flight, now known as the Row Motor Oil Premiership, with immediate effect, and the action, of course, hotting up as we head into action this Thursday with six of the seven clubs in action. So we'll bring you previews of that in just a while. First of all, though, we will speak to our main guest in this episode. Always a popular choice. Chris Harris joins us to talk about Speedway, his season so far, looking back at things from last season and ahead to the future as well. Delighted to say Chris Harris is able to join us fresh from washing the bikes down after his performances at the National Speedway Stadium in the Peter Craven Memorial meeting. And Chris, great to have you with us. It's been an all-action start for you. You've already got three meetings under your belt, so it's been all go.
Yeah, no, it's been a busy start, really, for me. Yeah, we had press day and then our first meeting at Oxford, and then Wrighty's testimonial, and then the Peter Craven last night. So it's been a bit hectic.
Yeah, but all good as well, and you've had some good results. You were top scorer with Oxford, so you must be happy to get that one on the board as well. I mean, it was maybe not perfect conditions, rarely is at this time of the season, but to get that first fixture out of the way and get back to some good form must have been a great way to start.
Yeah, obviously the conditions were tricky, but to be fair, both teams gave it a go. There was no moaning or groaning about the conditions, so you know, I think hats off to both sides there, and the fans were coming out. But no, for me, it was a good meeting. Dropping 2 points was pleasing. Obviously, we don't like dropping any points, but to start the season off with 13 points, so I would take that.
Oxford, of course, it's going to be a busy time at Oxford Stadium. There's going to be regular Speedway, which is good for the fans. You know, fans are going to know there's going to be some Speedway happening most weeks in some form or another, in one league or another. But to be stepping back up to the top level again, I guess you're one of the few riders who would remember Oxford from the first era at Sandy Lane before everything closed down. But it's great to have that. I know you've ridden there in the championship, of course, and you won the pairs there, didn't you, last year with Glasgow? But to be back there again and and seeing it now living up to its full potential back at the top league, it's fantastic, I think, for British Speedway as a whole to be bringing the top names back to Sandy Lane again.
Yeah, no, I remember obviously being there. Went there, I think it might have been 02, I guess, maybe the first time to ride. Could be earlier, but yeah, no, the track was a lot different back then. It was a lot narrower, so with Jamie coming in, he's made it wider, and I think better racing. And it definitely is a stadium now that belongs in the top league like it did years ago. And, you know, the owners and everyone that's put the effort in to put it where it is now is fantastic, really.
You know, a competitive team as well to be stepping up to the top level. As you've already seen, you've got your first victory on the board, but you've got yourself, you've got, you know, ex-Grand Prix talent with Matt Sejanowski, who's looking to head back there. Ex-Grand Prix talent in yourself, of course, not least. But also Louis Kerr, Charles Wright. You know what they can do around Oxford from, you know, they won the pairs with Redcar there a couple of years ago. So you've got a lot of strong talent in that side. And really, I don't know, what is the aim amongst Oxford? Is it just, are you aiming for the, you know, the playoffs, of course, I guess is the first aim, isn't it? But you must feel that really, you know, you are strong enough and you're not here just to watch on the sides. You're here to compete.
Yeah, no, the team that Jamie and Courtney and Peter Schrock put together, they put it together to go for that title. They're like everyone. They don't want to be in it just to make numbers up. They want to win it. First, obviously, is to get to the playoffs, and then it's a clean slate again. But no, we've got plenty of experience right through the side, right down to the youth and everything. So, you know, to have Magic Kit number one to lead us from the front is fantastic with his, you know, ability, caliber and experience at a high level, winning Grand Prix as well. So you can't ask for anyone better, really. He's a nice guy as well, off track, and you know, he's always there to help everyone. And then, obviously, foot was right down. Young Ashton, you know, there's no pressure on his shoulders whatsoever, but he started off the season good, and his home debut for the Spires, and you know, he done more than what we would ask for, really. So if we can all just keep improving, obviously some of the guys struggled with setups and the conditions last week, but you know, they'll get it right, and I'm sure we'll be a force to reckon with at home.
Have you got like a team WhatsApp group? Because I think sometimes the quality of the banter of a team on the WhatsApp sometimes can be a bit of a reflection on the mood in the camp sometimes. So what's the quality of the banter like between the boys? And who's the funniest?
The funniest probably is Peter Schrock, the boss. but no, it's slowly getting there, obviously, with when it was set up, the time difference when the boys were in Australia and everything and all their training camps that they was doing in this off-season. But yeah, now the season's there, the banter's starting, and they're all pretty funny, really. But yeah, no, Shockey likes to be the funniest I've heard. So I'll give it to him at the minute.
Good stuff. Looking back at last year, it was, I don't know, how would you assess your season last year? Because you started off with Leicester, and then you ended up making the move to Peterborough, which was maybe a bit of a, you know, not an ideal point. There was maybe one or two issues with the national team as well, where you withdrew from there. But the end of the season went great. You got silverware with Glasgow. You helped Sheffield win the top league title as well, doing what you do, coming in as the all-star super sub. So how would you assess 2023 from your point of view?
Yeah, it was obviously a mixed one, really. Like I said, I started at Leicester, really wanted a new challenge, and things didn't quite work out. Disappointed the way it went there, really, to be dropped. Obviously, I know that no one deserves a team place, if you know what I mean. You know, everyone's vulnerable, but yeah, the changes was made out of my hands. I didn't agree with them, but, you know, it's not my decision. Went to Peterborough, finished off there. Peterborough finished strong as a team, which was nice to see them last season. I struggled there a little bit, really, to be fair. But that's racing. Yeah, and then obviously, you know, the Team GB thing sort of come along, and disappointing how that really ended as well, really. You know, to leave what we did was something I needed to do, really, especially being promised something and then not delivering on it. I feel that, you know, it was sort of a kick in the teeth, really, and I, you know, didn't agree, but, you know, again, not my decisions. But yeah, no, Glasgow was a fantastic year. You know, took over captaincy towards the end from Tom, just so he could concentrate on his own racing, and to captain them to their first league title for a while was fantastic, and especially for the first league championship for the percenters. And they put a lot of time and money and effort into the sport, so it was nice that they could get that over the line finally after a few years of missing out.
Yeah, on the Glasgow front, as you say, they've tried for years and years to win this title, and they've invested a lot of money in not just the team, but the whole stadium. As you know, it's a very professional outfit and everything they've put into that that whole operation. And you're back again this year to help try and defend that title. But for you, on a personal note, it must have been a sort of a weird experience to be once again back at Wimborne Road with a title on the line, having, well, I don't know, your relationship with the Poole fans goes from one way to the other, doesn't it? You've won their hearts over by helping win titles for them, and then you've broken their hearts now a couple of occasions at Wimborne Road by taking that title away.
Yeah, no, it's a funny one. The relationship I got there is fantastic, to be fair, though. The fans have always made me welcome, even the times that I've took titles away from them. They've always given me a lot of respect, I guess. And I respect them as well. You know, as I've proven before, you know, if I've ridden for them or anything, I've always given 100% and against them. But, you know, I've always, they've always made me welcome. I've never really had many boos. I probably had maybe one or two over the years from them. But on a whole, we've been pretty good there, relationship between the rider and the fans, really.
And you made this sort of promise, didn't you, to, was it Cammy Brown or the Fasenas, that you would win the title for them, that when you signed for Glasgow, you know, that's what you would do. You'd go there and win the title for them. And not only did you contribute towards it, you actually did win the title. It was you that sealed the deal in that heat at Wimborne Road.
Yeah, no, it was nice. You know, it's always nice to be the one that steals the deal. But like you said, until that is over the line, it's hard, especially at Poole. They can turn the meeting around just like that and come back and bite you on the backside. So to do it in that vital heat was a tough one as well. I did say to Cammy leading up to that meeting that I would go out and lead from the front and win heat one for him, and we did that. And yeah, to drop 1 point over the two legs was good for a personal note. But to be fair, it was a team effort. You know, Lee Compton, he upped his game for that meeting. Tom had a fantastic playoff final as well. So, you know, Basso has done his job over the season. You know, Terezenko come in and done a fantastic job. Young Ace was there as well, putting in vital performances and scoring his points. So, you know, it was a team effort. You know, I couldn't, you know, everyone says that, you know, I won it on that race, which was nice. But, you know, for me to do that, the team had to perform over the season and over the two legs and to allow me to have that opportunity to seal it in the way we did.
Yeah, and you know, it's a very good point you make. There's a lot of focus on, like, you know, bringing in Tarasenko, of course, was a big signing. But equally, as you say, in the semi-final and leading up to that, the contribution of Lee Compton to single him out, really, you know, was massive. You know, really turned the scores around in some of the meetings, in all of the competitions. But he, you know, those points from reserve were huge for Glasgow, weren't they?
We were, especially when we was missing Klaus Smithson as well, and he was having a fantastic year, especially at home. He was an extra heat leader at home. He was good around Glasgow. So when he got injured, it was tough. But yeah, no, Lee stepped up. A lot of people wrote him off that he was overweight, too muscly, blah blah blah, and all that rubbish that you hear. But you know, he had a lot of bike issues to start the season and over the season, but he kept working at it, and you know, it showed in the playoffs. He come good. You know, he even crashed and bent probably his best bike, and you know, he's in that pool and still carried on. So, you know, he's a character as well in the team, you know, which is good for team spirit.
You were the busiest speedway rider in the world last year, is that right? You did the most meetings? I'm sure I saw somewhere something along those lines, including the long track stuff and everything.
Yeah, 3 years in the trot now, that is. So that's a nice thing I like. I've done like 90 odd speedway meetings, and then if I added my long track in grass tracks, it was about 105, something like that altogether, which I'd like to improve more on this year.
You've got a bit more room in the diary. Might be harder this year, though, because of the change to the rules. You can only guest for one team in the playoffs now. So you're going to have to pick your horse if your team doesn't qualify, of course.
My team's been in both playoffs, so I ain't got to worry about that. Excuse me. But no, I've got Sweden as well this year, so that's hopefully going to keep me busy as well. So I just ride on my bike. The more meetings I do, the busier I am. On the history is known, I seem to ride better the busier I am. So if I can ride 9 days a week, I ride 9 out of 7.
Do an afternoon matinee before the evening, and you've got the and you're doing the long track again this year, because you, well, that was close as well, wasn't it? You're very close to the world title this time, and unfortunately just narrowly missed out. But you must be looking to go one better there.
Yeah, no, we're back in it. Obviously, again, tried to win that. I've had a fourth, a third, a second. Hopefully next year it's going to be that top step. But no, it was obviously disappointing to lose it the way we did. We went into the last round just a couple ahead of Martin, which I knew was going to be tough on his home track. He's, you know, Smalley's a good rider on the long track, especially around Waldorf. And Junior decided just to change the engine a little bit to give us a bit more more power, but we ran out of steam on the straight. So the changes he made didn't work, which is unfortunate, but it was out of our hands. We didn't know nothing about it until the day we picked the engine up. So, it is what it is. We learned from that. Changed a lot for this year with the tuner and engine. So we've got a new one of them, and we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, from what he's saying, the dyno and everything looks good. But a dyno is one thing, but when you're on the track, it's another. But I'm confident it's going to work, and it'll be just down to me then. If I've got the machinery underneath me, I'll push all the way.
Yeah, good luck with that. Well, it's exciting to see how that all goes. And have you made any other changes as a result of that then to your regular speedway? Because I know that there's a lot of talk this time of season of a few riders changing engine tuners and changing engines, and some of the boys have mixed up their setups. Are you sticking with what you had from last year, or have you made any changes in that regard this year on the regular speedway too?
No, not really. Towards the end of last year, we made a few changes with the engines and the tuner. The tuner I've got now is just down the road from me, Johnsley, so it's literally 20 minutes from my house, so it's a bit easier than sending an engine to Holland. But other than that, we started using it, Johnsley, towards the end of last year, and I was happy with it, so we stuck with it. It's, you know, I've done it all before, changed tuners every 5 minutes, and that doesn't work. You need to find something that works and work with the tuner and build that relationship up again. It's all going in the right direction at the minute.
Yeah, it was talking because I've got Rory Schlein's now doing some stuff with BSN, and he's been on like the group chat in during meetings and so on, and he's been pointing out who's riding what engines, and he said that a lot of the boys now seem to be going back to Peter Johns. Peter Johns is one of the tuners, people that don't know, and he's tuned engines for world champions and Grand Prix riders in the past. And, you know, riders move, don't they, from one person to another, and it goes round. And people now seem to be seeing that Peter Johns is the man, who's doing your engines, is the man of the moment again.
Yeah, it's like a roundabout. Whoever's winning on one, the riders, scudo riders are very like sheep. They follow suit. So, yeah, if somebody went out and won a Grand Prix on a Westlake, everyone would want a Westlake, wouldn't they? Excuse me. But, I think John D's got something that's working well, especially in the English tracks. He knows, he's been around a long time. He knows the setups for over here. But for me, it's on my doorstep. It's 20 minutes from my house. If I've got a problem, I can fly an engine over there, and if he's got time, he can quickly sort it out. But no, he's the one over here. I think it's got some engines, good engines working. There's some quick guys out there on his stuff.
Are you still a belt drive guy as well? Because they've been there were talks about at the Peter Craven, because obviously Freddie Lindgren's running one at the minute as well, isn't he? A few riders do. Are you still on that?
Yeah, I still use mine. I see Doyley's gone over to him now. I think he likes how they work, so I guess he'll be changing fully over them soon, I guess. But for me, I've used them for 3 or 4 years now. I've never had no problem. I like the way they work for me at the start. I know I'm not the greatest starter, but the way it feels and on track, the way it rides and handles, it works for me. So, and I believe it's going to be the way forward in a few years when they ban chain oilers. They're going to have to do something with riders. So the belts are going to be the way forward, I believe.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. And obviously, it's not causing any harm because Freddie Lindgren's using them. He was going fast enough and has been going fast enough the last couple of years. And you, I would say, we're having to start calling you Trapper Harris because you're getting out of the gate. And we're not bombing. I mean, you're still doing it as and when required. But really now, you know, you have been making the starts probably better than ever in the last couple of years.
Yeah, the belt drive has helped me at the start better. Still a bit inconsistent as me, but I don't like to make too many starts of meetings because I like to have some racing, have some fun from the back. But for an easier life, it would be easier to make starts. But you know, it is what it is. Yeah, when we do make starts, it is nice because it's had that fresh air from the front is easy. But yeah, we keep working on it and see what we can improve.
On to this season then. You've already raced against Birmingham and got the victory there, but your next fixture for Oxford in what's now called the Rome Motor Oil Premiership, which will be the name you'll be hearing through this season, the new sponsors of the Premiership in British Speedway, and Oxford's racing against the reigning champions. The Sheffield Tigers come to Sandy Lane for their first experience of that. Of course, you helped Sheffield to get it over the line last season. You came in as the super guest, one of a few, to be fair, that Sheffield called on, and you were involved in that and helped lift that trophy. But now you're riding against them on your new home track, and this is going to be, firstly, it's Sheffield's first fixture, isn't it, as their title defence begins. And do you think that you've had that meeting already this season, last week? You've got a bit of an advantage of track time there because Sheffield haven't ridden as a team yet.
Yeah, no, it's going to be tough. Sheffield's a good side, I'll say, defending champions. So they've got that big target on their back. But yeah, no, it's nice that we've had the advantage to having a meeting at home already, given it was a wet one. But if they can have the track like it was press day, it was fantastic on press day. So if that's going to be like that for the season, it'd be some good racing. But you can't really write Sheffield off there. You know, a few of them have probably done a few meetings and practices, and you know, you've got two ex-world champions in that side, a young possible future world champion in Jack Holder. So you know, their top three are very good, and then you've obviously got Pickering. He's an out racer. He's been to Oxford in the championship, so he'll know what it's all about. Same as Carl Harf and their boys at reserve as well. So it's not going to be easy. It never is. At that top level, which you don't want. You know, you want close racing, tough racing, and I'm looking forward to Thursday and see what we can do against the reigning champion.
And you've got them twice, haven't you? Because you're then back at Sheffield the following week, so it's home and away against the Sheffield Tigers. And of course, Ollerton, a different prospect to your home circuit, where it is more about out and out speed, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a track I enjoy going to, and I believe, you know, the team that we've got will is all probably been there. So we don't really need to worry about that. It's just Sheffield are a strong side at home, so and led by some good riders. So, but I don't believe Holder or Chris or Jack's been to Oxford yet, and I'm not sure if Ty has or not. He might have done in his younger days, but I'm not really sure if he has or not, to be fair. But if it's not, then we need to make sure that we get off to a good start.
I don't know on that one. I think if he did, it would be at the very, very start of his career, wouldn't it? Because they would have stopped.
Yeah, he'd been a very young boy.
Yeah. He might have been there, but yeah, certainly I think it's effectively going to be his first. And as you say, the track has changed at Oxford quite a bit, hasn't it? Because it's much wider now.
Yeah, so it's made for better racing. So, excuse me. But again, they're world-class riders, so they're not going to worry about not been there before. They know what they're doing, so it's going to be we just got to be on our A game, worry about us and not worry about the opposition.
And then we've got the Easter break coming up, but then things get going for Glasgow's title defence, and you'll line up as the captain of the Glasgow Tigers and defending that title now. So and you start off with, well, one of the biggest fixtures that you can have in Scottish Speedway. It is the fixture in Scottish Speedway, isn't it, to be fair? It's you're up against Edinburgh, and that what a way to start your title defence against the old enemy.
Yeah, no, it's, I've done a few of them now, but we always get drilled in by the management there that how big of a meeting local derby that one is, so it's a must win. So, yeah, it's always tough. Edinburgh is good. A good track to go to. It's a tough track to go to. They've got some good riders at home. It's a specialist one, so but I enjoy it there. But I've the team we got at Glasgow, I think, is a good side. A lot to improve on with their averages, and we can all improve on that. So I think all in all, it should be a good tough meeting. Enjoyable for the fans, we hope. But yeah, we need to start off well. When our title defence today, we're the ones with the big target on our back, and we need to make sure that we start off well.
We've been talking about British Speedway as a whole over the last few weeks on various podcasts about the general strength, and particularly at the Premiership level, with the quality of the riders that are now back riding here, and one of your teammates being one of them, you know, Matt Sayanovsky. We've got you know, Bewley and Doyle and Saifutinov, and you know, in your experience, is this the? We've been saying it's probably the strongest for 10 years. You've been there, you know, through that time and more. Where does it fit in to you? What sort of era are we up against when you think, when you look back at this league now, as to how strong it is lining up at the start of the season? I mean, maybe the days of Tony Rickardson, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely the strongest it's been for, yeah, probably you've got to say 10 years, I would say, a long, long time. I wouldn't say it's the strongest that we've had. Because I said, when I started off, you had Jason, you had Sullivan, you had Mark, you had Tony, you had Javi, you had Screeny. You know, you had some good riders, you had Gollop and that. But like you said, if we can get back to them days, to have them top riders over here, it's good. It's looking good at the minute. The ones that come back to our shores, is great, and hopefully some more top ones will follow. It's not easy. Obviously, we know the money's not as big, or no way as close as what the Polish clubs are paying. So that's a big factor into it as well. But you know, I believe with what's happening with the sport, with the new sponsors that are coming on, it's looking promising, and hopefully it will filter down and it gets the fans back through the gate.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. Slowly does it. It's not going to be an overnight fix, but you know, definitely people can see that there are differences. You know, we've got all these different sponsors already coming in, and it does feel different, and the quality of the rider is different. Looking ahead, maybe 10, 15 years or more, how's Cruz doing? He looks like he's coming on strong with his Speedway skills. We see on social media the little practice sessions he's having out by your house, or whether he's hitting the track. He looks like he's learning fast. And you had your first race with him at Scunthorpe, I gather.
Yeah, he's, I can assure you, in 10 to 15 years, I won't be riding. So that's for sure. He'd be the only Harris around riding here. But yeah, no, he's enjoying it. He's loving it. Well, he's enjoying it. He'll carry on. You know, we don't pressurise him. If he wants to go on his bike, we take him out. If not, you know, we let him just do what he wants to do. But yeah, when he's there, he loves it. You know, that video we put up with us on the track together at Scunthorpe, on the kids' training track at Scunthorpe, I think it's like nearly up 400,000 views now. So I should have put a pound for every view, shouldn't I? I could have paid the mortgage off.
Yeah, pay per view. That's what you need to do.
But he just loves it. You know, he's got his own little followers. He's got people come up and ask him for photos and ask him to be their friend and that. So, you know, he loves it. It's good for him. And yeah, just hope the sport keeps growing back to being big as was when I was a young kid. With the stadiums, obviously, we've seen a few close over the years, but obviously just a few open with Oxford. So if Coventry can come back, and if Wolves can find somewhere and open, it's good for the sport. And I believe with these sponsors that are coming in, it can show the councils that sport is still a growing sport, and that they will leave the housing alone and say, stop building on our stadiums and go and find another field to build the houses on. Because you know, that's all it's all about, isn't it? Greedy developers.
Yeah, and of course, a club that's very close to your heart, Coventry, central to that. You have made your contribution to that fight. And of course, that big decision at the start of the year, I think, is actually going to have lasting repercussions on other stadiums and other developments that are trying to be built on stadiums. But great that there's been no appeal to that now, and we sort of wait and see what happens to the next stage. But for you, I guess there'd be nothing more that you'd love to have a ride around Brandon at one more time if they manage to get things open again at some point.
Yeah, no, it's great that they never appealed. You know, Jeff Davis and everyone that's done involved with that has done a fantastic job to keep fighting, to keep Coventry there. So, yeah, I said to Jeff that he needs to get it back up and running so I can have my retirement there. So, he's got a few years to do that yet, but let's have we need it back. It's definitely a fantastic racetrack, good stadium. Granted, it does need a lot of work, but there's a lot of volunteers and people that will put it back back to its real glory, or if not better. But it's just not that either. You know, you say we want Wolves back, Peterborough, you know, all these tracks that's been closed in Lakeside, even though it wasn't my favourite track. You don't want to see no tracks closed, and you want to get them all back in here and make the league bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. And people are working as much as they can to try and make that happen, of course. And hopefully one day we'll get there with some of those tracks coming back in British Speedway. Well, look, thanks a lot for joining us, Bomber. Always a pleasure to hear from you. And we'll look forward to seeing you back on the track very soon. You've dusted yourself down after the Peter Caver Memorial and back to track action for you back at Oxford against Sheffield on Thursday.
Yeah, no, we a little off, but we've bust ourselves down and we'll be back for Thursday and go again. We're up to Manchester again tomorrow for the media day for the Premiership. So, all the teams are there, so it's going to be a busy day tomorrow.
I'll see you there.
You will.
Chris Bomber-Harris, legend of British Speedway on No Breaks, No Fear. And Bomber will be in action for the Oxford Spires as they race against the Sheffield Stars. In the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, we'll hear from his teammate. We'll hear from Matsey Yanofsky on his start to his Oxford career. We'll also hear from a couple of those involved in the fixture at Leicester on Thursday, which is the Leicester Lions against the Kingsland Stars. We'll hear from Max Frick and Niels Christian Iversen. And the Bellevue Aces head to Ipswich. And we'll hear from the boss, Mark Lemon, on his side's chances, all in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
Coming up in the next part, we'll look back on Charles Wright's testimonial and also the Peter Craven Memorial in the final part. But right now, we'll look ahead to the fixtures coming up this week in the British Speedway Roe Motor Oil Premiership. And we'll start with Sheffield, who get their title defence underway later this week. And co-promoter Damian Bates feels they've given themselves the best chance possible to retain their crown. The True Seven Group Tigers head to Oxford for their opener March 21st. It's a 7:30 start for their first league fixture since lifting the Top Flight Trophy last October. It's a familiar-looking side, of course. It's been assembled for this term and features seven riders who all represented the Ollerton outfit at some point throughout 2023. Damian Bates certainly feels the Tigers have got the strongest top five in the division, as well as two of the UK's brightest prospects at reserve. Well, let's hear from the opposition right now, who will be facing them. We'll hear from Matsey Yanofsky. You've already heard from Bomber, of course, but what about his teammate, who's had his first couple of rides in British Speedway over the last week, and he's been chatting to Ryan Guest.
Well, Matsey, obviously back in British Speedway with Oxford in 2024. First and foremost, what's it like to be back in British Speedway?
I'm very excited. Of course, I want to race a little bit better than for example tonight, but I have good fun and I'm looking forward to get good feeling of these tracks and presence better.
What was it that made you want to come back to British Speedway at this time?
Experience. I know maybe I'm not the youngest rider in the league, but you never end learning. So that was main reason. More experience on difficult tracks, more technical tracks. Yeah.
You've had your first meeting with Oxford as well, a win over Birmingham last Thursday. It was an interesting opening night in wet conditions.
Yes, that was a nice welcome back in British Speedway. But that was something what I was looking for, tough competition on difficult condition, weather conditions, and on difficult tracks. So I'm very happy and exciting to be back.
Yeah, Chris Harris, your captain as well, getting the job done in heats 14 and 15 on that night. It's quite an experienced side you've got at Oxford in the Premiership.
Yeah, so we have I think we have a very good team, and I hope we will have good fun together and score a good point for Oxford. That's the main thing.
And looking ahead to this Thursday as well, the champion Sheffield with Jack Holder, Ty Woffin and Chris Holder. So a big match on Thursday night.
Yes, of course. great team coming to Oxford. I hope we'll be good enough to win, of course.
Matsey Yanofsky chatting with Ryan Guest there, speaking at the Peter Craven Memorial, and a bit of reaction from that to come later on in the podcast. Another team opening up their account will be the Leicester Lions. They had a rain off last week. They were due to be riding against Bellevue, but the weather got the better of the track. Hoping for better at the Pidcock Motorcycles Arena this Thursday. Leicester Lions versus the Kingsland Stars. In a moment, we'll hear from Niels Christian Iversen. First of all, let's hear from the Leicester number one, Max Frick, also chatting with Ryan Guest.
Well, Max, obviously it's a delayed start to the season for the Watling JCB Leicester Lions, but nevertheless, really excited to get going on Thursday with Kingsland, the visitors.
Exactly. You know, it's a shame that we weren't able to get our first fixture underway, but, you know, we had press day before, and with the rain forecast, it just wasn't meant to be. So we'll get started this week. Everyone's keen and ready to go, so can't wait for it.
Nevertheless, as well, did manage to get some track time in on the Wednesday, like you say, and good to get the group together before that first meeting.
Exactly, yeah, it was great to get out and do a few laps. You know, we can get an idea, a bit of a feel for the track, and just get a few laps on our bikes. We haven't done a whole lot of riding yet this year, so that's the main thing, just getting a little bit more comfortable and you know, finally get the season underway.
And you're excited about this Leicester team in 24?
Yeah, exactly. We've got a new team this year, and a lot of changes around the club, so it's really cool to see, and hopefully it's going to be, you know, be able to put in some good results.
And as we mentioned, Kingsland coming on Thursday night as well. They've got a bit of a revamped team as well, so what are your thoughts heading into that one?
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't really looked at too many other teams. It's kind of been concentrating on myself and what we can do to be better. So, you know, we'll take it on like any other meeting. And it's, you know, first one of the year, so we've got to be conscious of that. But, you know, I think, you know, it should be go well.
And a message for the supporters as well. Like you say, lots of excitement to get back track side on a competitive night of action as well. So just a message for the Leicester fans ahead of that one.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you all of you guys there. It's been a long off season, so can't wait to see you there.
There you go, Max, all the best for Thursday.
Thank you.
So on the opposite side of the pits will be Niels Christian Iversen, who comes into the Kingsland side once again in 2024. And it is a new look Kingsland outfit. And he's been speaking to Ryan Guest also ahead of that fixture on Thursday against Leicester.
Well, Niels, first and foremost, how does it feel to be back with Kingsland in 2024?
No, it feels good. I'm excited for the season. And yeah, we'd love to have a fairly good team as well. And So it's going to be nice and exciting to get started.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, it's a familiar-looking team for yourself. Obviously, a lot of connections with Peterborough. Rob Lyon also back as team manager. Is that something you think could benefit Kingsland? Obviously, everyone spending that much time together last season.
Not really. It's all about what happened when we come to the track and how we perform. So, obviously, Peterborough last year was a struggle, especially the first half of the season. But you know, we had changes in the team, and we had Vadim and Patrick coming into the team as well, sort of midway through, and things really kicked off from them. And yeah, these two guys is with me as well in Kingsland, as well as Benjamin. So now it's going to be good.
Yeah, like you say, some strength in the team as well. Tobias Musialak also coming in at number one and captain as well. So do you think the Stars are well equipped to put on a playoff push this year?
I think so, but it's always difficult to sort of make any predictions before the season starts. You know, it's all about what happens on the track and how everybody performs. You know, the other teams look really strong too. I think the league looks very competitive, and yeah, it's going to be difficult to predict anything. But I think we have a solid team, and I think we have a solid side all the way through. So I don't think we have any weak links in the team. And that's normally the key to be able to reach the playoffs.
And a competitive opener on Thursday night as well. Leicester away, they haven't been able to get on their track competitively yet either. So what are your thoughts going into that one?
Oh, it's the first league meeting of this season, so it's difficult what to expect. But I mean, we need to get started. We need to get going. And first, I have this meeting here tonight, which is also exciting. So hopefully that will bring me into that zone and into that shape, so I can perform well on the Thursday as well.
Niels, wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
So it's Leicester versus Kings Lynn. You can watch this live on BSN as well, as BSN begin league coverage with this fixture. If you haven't got your passes yet, they're available still for the whole season, or just for the one-off. Just get all the details, watch.britishspeedway.co.uk. But there's certainly some mouth-watering clashes here as well. And heat number one should be pretty tasty in itself. They've got Max Frick and Richard Lawson up against Tobias Musialak and that man we just heard there, Niels Christian Iversen, named as number two in the Kings Lynn lineup, which makes them look very strong indeed. So the relative lineups then looking like this: Leicester, Max Frick at one, Richard Lawson two, Sam Masters three, Luke Becker four, Ryan Douglas five, and the reserves at six, Drew Kemp and Joe Thompson, rising star, at seven. And for Kings Lynn, at number one will be Tobias Musialak, two, Niels Christian Iversen, Michael Palmtoft at three, Benjamin Basso rides at four, Vadim Tarasenko five, Patrick Wodgilo is a reserve at six, and Anders Roe, the rising star, at seven. So watch along with that, and we look forward to certainly that. Say that first heat should be pretty interesting. Well, another fixture taking place on Thursday, as six of the seven sides are all in action in the Roe Motor Oil Premiership, are the Ipswich Witches and the Bellevue Aces. Ipswich, of course, runners-up last year, winners of the Knockout Cup at Premiership level. And, of course, Bellevue with that championship the year prior and just fell short of retaining it, and they're looking for better. And certainly if you saw how the respective Bellevue Aces got on in the Peter Craven Memorial meeting on Monday, you'll think that they've got reason to be fairly positive, as collectively I think the riders that rode there hit over 60 points from their combined five rides. So, reasons to be cheerful for Mark Lemon. He's been chatting to Ryan Guest about Bellevue's chances this year.
So, Mark Lemon, 2024 season about to get underway for the Bellevue Aces as a team. First of all, the side you've put together and assembled this season, how do you think it's going to cope in this year's Premiership?
I think they'll do quite adequately. You know, they're all quite seasoned now, even though that's the relatively young team. There's potential in all their averages, and that's kind of what you look to when you build a team, you know, the guys that can improve. You know, Dan Bewley on an 8-point average, I think, is a steal. You know, he didn't have the best year last year by his own, you know merits, but we know why. But he can kick on and be one of the best riders in the UK. So look forward to seeing that. Brady's been just a sterling captain. You know, leads by example, and obviously watched young Jamin Lindsay sort of develop last year, and young Norit Bildone, he's only 19 years of age, he's still got a massive future. And obviously Ben Cook, you saw what he did at the Peter Craven Memorial meeting, so there's a lot to be excited about that. And obviously you got the two Connors at the reserve position, which I think are probably one of the strongest pairings if you look across the league. So a lot to like about the team, but there's six other very, very good teams too out there. The Premiership's looking very healthy and very strong, and it's great to see that the product is what it is.
Yeah, it was something spoken about last year as well. Obviously around the National Speedway Stadium, you created that dominance, obviously looking to do that again, but that aggregate point as well that's in play as well this year. Form on the road going to be just as important once again to get you into that top four.
Yeah, I mean, you look last year, our away form was better than it's ever been, and we didn't quite make the grand final. But obviously, losing Charles Wright to injury really hurt us, and then just extending on that, losing Charles Wright and Tom Brennan, the Premiership team winning riders, to not have them back with us is obviously very tough decisions. But you got points limits to consider, and team changes and things like that. So as much as it pains me to see them go, we've welcomed the newcomers into the team. But no, lot to like about a lot of things. We just got to keep our ethos running, and then hopefully we'll be there or thereabouts.
A tough opener on Thursday night at Foxhall as well. Obviously a repeat of that famous semi-final from last year, and with the way Ipswich have built another strong side as well, it's going to be one tough opener that on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the Ipswich team when they built that at the start of 2023, and if I was going to say who's going to probably end up the top of the league, I would have said Ipswich. Very strong, Dawley and Safudinov, but you got a young Kenny Roo, coming through, is going to sort of improve a lot, I think, in 2024. But we go back to the Witches, ground where we obviously left with our tails between our legs. But some of the boys have to stand up for themselves, which I'm sure they will. But it'll be an acid test for us, I guess. But you know, it's the start of the season, so you're not going to count on everything that pans out so early.
Many twists and turns to come. This is just the start of it, as six of the seven sides get underway. Of course, apart from Oxford, all of these sides racing their first meeting of the year. So Thursday looks like this: Ipswich versus Bellevue, Leicester versus King's Lynn, Oxford versus Sheffield Tigers, of course, the defending champions. Leicester versus King's Lynn, you can watch live wherever you are in the world on BSN. So that's how things look. And then looking ahead to Monday, there's one fixture on Monday. A lot of fixtures on Thursday this year. Most of the tracks are on Thursdays now. So it's Birmingham Brummies versus Sheffield Tigers on Monday, March 25th. And we'll cover the rest of the fixtures this time next week. But busy time as we head towards the Easter period. There's lots going on, and Speedway is certainly hotting up. And soon we'll have championship action getting underway, as well as the BSN series launches on the Easter weekend. But more about that next week. In the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, then we'll look back on a couple of the meetings that have taken place this last week. We had the Charles Wright testimonial at Redcar. We had the Peter Craven Memorial at Bellevue. And both meetings certainly delivered some great racing and some very worthy winners as well. So we'll hear about that in just a few moments in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
In this final part then, just rounding up a couple of the meetings that happened earlier in the week that helped kick off the 2024 British Speedway season. And first to the National Speedway Stadium, where Bellevue Aces captain Brady Kurtz made the perfect start to the season with victory for the first time in the Peter Craven Memorial at the National Speedway Stadium. He headed an Aces 1-2 in the final. Dan Bewley coming in second place. Leicester skipper and former ace Max Frick was third. Drama, though, in the early stages on the first bend. Six-rider race, of course, so it was very cramped into that first turn. And four-time previous winner Jason Doyle clashed with Freddie Lindgren. Lindgren's foot peg getting stuck in Jason Doyle's rear spokes, which forced Jason Doyle to pull out before completing the first lap. And Brady Kurtz celebrating his triumph shortly after. Well, after the awards had been handed out and the champagne had been popped, Paul Bowen from BSN, fresh back from Lord Sugar's boardroom, had a chat with the three podium men, Max Frick, Dan Bewley and Brady Kurtz.
That's right, and with third place finisher Max, you got to be buzzing, that was a good race.
It was hectic, six riders on the track, you definitely notice the difference, so especially when you're battling in the middle, so it's a good race. The track got really tricky in the end. They lost, the outline was kind of gone and didn't really know where to ride. So I was picking and choosing. I went outside for a few laps, inside for a couple of laps. But yeah, it was a tricky, tough one.
And talk about the second place finisher coming in here, Dan Bewley. Do we think we could have done anything on Dan there? Him and Brady seemed to be having their own little race. Could we have bombed him?
I was trying to get in the mix there, but I pinned a lap around the inside and I thought, all right, if this works, I'll come out somewhere near the front. But I had no traction down the inside and I just spun.
And Dan, obviously, for you, obviously, you're in the front, you're behind Brady, you've got Max breathing down your neck. What do you focus on first? Do you focus on keeping Max behind you, or do you focus on beating Brady?
No, to be honest, I was just trying to get it to hook up around the curb or just kind of waiting for Brady to move somewhere else. I felt like, I don't know, but I didn't think the dirt was really working, but I don't think any of us really did anything working. We were just kind of all hoping for a little bit. But yeah, fair play to Brady and Max also, and it's been a fun meeting.
Let's see if we get Brady. Brady, come on in with this big trophy. He's gleaming, he is. Come on in. There's room for three. And his trophy. Come and bring your trophy. Get her on there. See if it can stand it. Brady Kurtz, winner of the Peter Craven Memorial Meeting. Brady, that was some riding off that.
Yeah, it's, don't really know what happened. The start was beautiful and then it all went wrong for me a little bit on the second lap. But Daniel was very fast on the inside. I wasn't sure after the track grade whether it was going to go or not out wide, but it did after a couple of laps.
I can see you're all sitting back trying to lift that wheel, get a bit of grip. Was it just fighting the grip for everyone?
Yeah, like everyone's just trying to get the bike to go, really. It looks funny when there's six people on the track.
And Max, you're having a bit of a dab on the outside, though. Did you stick to their plan or did you not have a plan?
I was trying to make it work, but there wasn't a whole lot of dirt out there, so I switched it back to the inside there. But even when I did that, I didn't have the traction or the speed that I needed to catch these two in front.
And Brady, you just got a bit of a lift there into Ben's free there. Was that a bit of a moment, or was it just controlled?
No, I think I decided I was really going for the big line.
You was having that trophy.
I did want it. I've tried for a lot of years to win this meeting, and I always blow it in the final. And I thought I had again.
Absolutely fantastic stuff there.
Winner of the Peter Craven Memorial, Brady Kurtz. Well done to him. Persistence pays off. And finally, he got there and the trophy is his and his name goes down in history. Well, on Sunday, world number two, Freddie Lindgren topped the podium with victory in Charles Wright's testimonial meeting at Redcar. The Swedish superstar had to come from behind in the final, passing a resurgent Erik Riss in tricky conditions. Heavy rain falling on the final. The rest of the meeting was perfect. And then the rain moved in just for that final heat. Bellevue and Pool racer Ben Cook took third place and Dan Bewley missed out in the final. Well, afterwards, I caught up with the winner, Swedish superstar, fast Freddie Lindgren. Freddie Lindgren, winner. It was not ideal conditions, but a great afternoon of Speedway here at Redcar.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was very nice throughout the whole meeting, I would say. You know, we were lucky with the weather and the track. Held up good. It had some rain beforehand, so... I enjoyed it. It was a good turnout, a good event, and unfortunately we had some rain in the final, but made it happen anyways.
Yeah, I mean, the final was all action, and I think sometimes the rain obviously is a leveler. It was very wet conditions out there, but you raced for it. You didn't just gate and go. You worked for it, and you got past Erik Riss. He put a good fight together.
Yeah, I found a good line right by the insider and the shortest way around when it was so slippery, and had to use a bit of throttle control as well, so happy with that.
Yeah, absolute masterclass in riding in tricky conditions, and fair play to all four riders for giving it a go and really putting it on the line and racing despite the weather that had moved in, and particularly Erik Riss and Freddie Lindgren really showing what they're made of there in that final at Redcar. So, we'll just have a look at the fixtures ahead for the next week or so as we head towards the Easter weekend. Lots of Row Motor Oil Premiership action. And on Thursday, we've got three matches. Ipswich Witches versus the Bellevue Aces, the Leicester Lions versus the Kingsland Stars, and Oxford Spires versus the Sheffield Tigers. And then it's back to action on Monday, March 25th, just the one fixture, and that's the Birmingham Brummies versus the Sheffield Tigers at Perry Bar as Birmingham look to open their home campaign in the Row Motor Oil Premiership. And then next Thursday, another busy day, we've got three tracks in action. Of course, six of the seven sides racing each other. And it's the Sheffield Tigers versus the Oxford Spires at Ollerton. Ipswich Witches versus the Birmingham Brummies at Foxhall. And at the Adrian Flux Arena, Kingsland Stars versus the Leicester Lions. And of course, then into the Easter weekend. And Good Friday sees the first action in the WRSA National Development League as the Bellevue Colts face the Leicester Lion Cubs. That's at 1 o'clock at the National Speedway Stadium. And other fixtures on Friday, it's the start of the championship campaign, I guess you'd say, certainly at that level of British Speedway. We've got a couple of BSN series fixtures, one in the Northern Group, the Scunthorpe Scorpions, racing against the Workington Comets. The first appearance at this level of British Speedway for the Comets, and that's 5:30 at the Eddie Wright Raceway on Good Friday. The Pool Pirates in action on Good Friday as well. 7:30 the start time at Wimborne Road in the BSN series as the Pirates face the Oxford Cheetahs. And also on Friday, there's action on Teesside at the Echo Arena. The Redcar Bears up against the Newcastle Diamonds Select. All riders that have formerly ridden for Newcastle. So Steve Worrell certainly involved in that, for example. That's the Tyne Tees Trophy at 7:30 at Redcar Good Friday. On Saturday, March 30th, well, not only is it my birthday, but you got action at Plymouth for the first time this year. BSN Series Southern, and that is Plymouth Gladiators versus the Pool Pirates. And also the Berwick Bandits are racing against the Workington Comets in the Border Trophy. And the return leg of that will be 24 hours later, well, actually less than 24 hours later, at Workington, because they're riding at 3 o'clock there. Workington against the Berwick Bandits on Easter Sunday, March 31st. And then bank holiday Monday, we're back to action in the Premiership Knockout Cup. Actually gets underway with a couple of fixtures on bank holiday Monday. Looking further ahead, Bellevue Aces versus the Sheffield Tigers at 12 noon at the National Speedway Stadium. And also in the Knockout Cup, it's the Leicester Lions versus the Ipswich Witches. Both of those quarter-final first leg fixtures. And one Row Motor Oil Premiership fixture as well, as the two new sides to Premiership action, the Birmingham Brummies and the Oxford Spires, face each other. Of course, the bonus point is up for grabs there, with it being so close from the first leg. Oxford just nicking the points on the night, but still very close, and the Brummies have certainly got a lot to ride for in that one. And that takes you well into April, but I just thought it's worth covering off the Easter bank holiday in case you want to plan ahead and factor in any of those fixtures. They're coming thick and fast now, and certainly once you get into April, well, there's no stopping it. There's Speedway right, left and centre, but we'll talk about that a little bit more next week on the official British Speedway podcast, No Breaks, No Fear. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to my guest earlier as well, Chris Harris, for spending half an hour with us and chatting Speedway. Thanks to Ryan Guest for getting out there and grabbing some interviews as well through the course of the Peter Craven Memorial. And thanks to you, of course, for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of No Breaks, No Fear. Don't forget to bookmark, like, follow, subscribe, whatever app you use, whatever you have to do, so you don't miss a future episode. And check out the previous episodes as well. There's lots to listen to. Kelvin Tatum's Premiership Preview was last week's episode. And before that, the first week this year, we caught up with Phil Morris, the Premiership CEO, and the chairman of British Speedway, Rob Godfrey. So lots to catch up on there. And we'll catch you on the next episode of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.